Okay, so this week's parsha is Parsha Shemini, and what I really want to focus on today, obviously a major theme of the story of the parsha deals with the sin of Nadav and Avihu, but I'd like to sort of focus on the how that impacted Aaron, how this impacted Aaron and the relationship between the punishment of Nadav and Avihu and Aaron, perhaps post Chet HaEgel, and that's sort of one approach that I read to sort of put this story in a little bit of a different perspective. Now, obviously, in some sense, the Mishkan, right? That the Mishkan. The purpose of the Mishkan was a continuation of the Sinai experience. I have here in the first source when Moshe tells Klal Yisrael in Parshas Vayeshanan in Perakei, he says, "Hashem Elokeinu Karasi Mano Bris B'Chorev." Hashem entered with us a treaty in Chorev, right? Lo Asavoseinu Karasi Hashem a Bris Hazos Ki Itano. Says not just with your ancestors but with you as well. And then he says, "Panim b'panim, diber Hashem imachem bahar mitoch esh." There's a very direct revelation, it was as it were, face to face. And then, as many of us are familiar, the Ramban, in the beginning of Parshas Truma, in Perek Chaf Hei, the Ramban has this line, which we've spoken about a number of times, that Sod HaMishkan Hu. What's the hint of the Mishkan? What's the secret of the Mishkan? The goal of the Mishkan was to continue the Sinai revelation in a less obvious way. And of course, the Chet HaEgel, this is a little bit of just a background first, and most of us are familiar with this, but obviously the sin of the golden calf changed everything. And then after Yom Kippur, the Bnei Yisrael are commanded to build the Mishkan. There's tremendous excitement in that very successful fundraising campaign. Donations exceeded the need. And the Mishkan, in some sense, was a part of the tshuva for the sin of the golden calf. I think we explored different approaches to this, but certainly on one level, the Mishkan helps to serve as some kind of tshuva potentially for the sin of the golden calf. In fact, in the Midrash, Shmos Rabbah, I have here, the Midrash tells us, "Kishasu ha'ego." When Klal Yisrael made the Egel, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, God said to Moshe, V'atah hanichali, he says to Moshe, leave me, and etc. So that's what the pasuk says. And the Medrash so fills in the blanks. Omar lo, bedok osad sheyasu es hamishkan. Test them to see whether they will make the Mishkan. Maksiv ba'oso kilkala. What is written with regard to their failure? With regard to the failure of the sin of the golden calf, parkunizmu has right parkunizme hazav uma mahevi nizamim, right? It says right Aaron told him to remove the gold rings. And what did they bring? They brought rings. Uksha asu hamishkan asu oso nedava. And when they made the mishkan, they actually made the same contribution. Maksiv, what is written? Kol nediv lev heviu chach vanezem tabas v'chumaz. So among the donations, one of the donations was nezem, were these rings, these nose rings. V'nezamim chatu v'nezamim with rings they were sinned, and with rings they were appeased. V'ruach hakodesh savachas al yedei Hoshea, and the divine spirit moved Hoshea to declare, "V'haya b'makom asher yomar lahem lo ami, atem yomar lahem b'nai kelchai." So in the place, instead of being told, "You're not my nation," they will be told, "You are the children of the living God." Amar Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe says before God, "Kasavta, you wrote, Ki ignov ish sor ose otavacho machoro chamisha bakor yishalem tachas ashor," that if someone steals and shechs or sells an ox, so what they have to pay five times. So what did Bnei Yisrael do? They sort of, as it were, betrayed God in, with an ox, with a baby ox, with a calf. So harei heviu hei. So they brought back fivefold. Chach, banezim, tabas, ogil, b'chumas. Five different types of, you know, nose rings, earrings, rings, bracelets. So this shows that they had done tshuva. They're repenting for the sin of the golden calf. That's the way the Midrash, many of the Midrashim understand this. And the and I think one way that we understand was the eighth day, Vahi Bayom Hashmini, on the eighth day, this was a day not only of the inauguration of the Mishkan, but it was also a day of an atonement, to some sense, of the sin of the golden calf. Or it was a demonstration. It was a demonstration that HaKadosh Baruch Hu truly forgave Klal Yisrael for the sin of the golden calf. And how do we know they were successful? So there in Perek Tes, the key really to know they were successful, when the Pasuk says in Perek Tes, Psukim Chaf Gimel and Chaf Dalet, Vayavo Moshe V'arol and Ohel Moed, Moshe and Aaron come to the Ohel Moed, Vayetsu Vayavarchu Asam, they go out and they bless the people, Vayera Kavod Hashem El Kol Ha'am, the glory of God appears to all the people, Vateitse Eish Bilifnei Hashem, and the fire emerged from before God, Vatochal Ala Mizbech Es Hola V'Sachalavim, and it consumes on the Mizbech, the Ola, the sacrifices, miraculously the fire comes down. Fire is obviously a symbol of God's Shechina. You know, the Hashem appears to, or the Shechina appears to Moshe and Chorev with the burning bush with fire. At Har Sinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes in fire. And so what takes place here, again, is not simply an inauguration of the Mishkan, but it's much more than that. It seems that all has been forgiven. And the Shechina comes down to the people. Now the question is, so what's Aaron feeling like at this time? Because again, there's the klal, the forgiveness to the klal, but there's also Aaron. We know that Aaron was involved in the sin of the golden calf, and I'm sure you know you've read different approaches in terms of the level of Aaron's culpability. And, you know, did he do a tremendous act of Mesiris Nefesh by sort of allowing this the golden calf to be built so they wouldn't kill him and be leaderless? Was he at fault a little bit? So there are obviously different opinions here, and I'm just sharing with you this evening sort of one approach to understand this. But in some sense, this was not only a return of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, but it was also a return, it was a demonstration potentially, that Aaron was forgiven. Remember, Aaron was involved in the golden calf, and now would Aaron take his rightful place and be the Kohen Gadol in the Mishkan? Like, you know, there's a klal level and there's also a personal level. And in fact, Rashi points out in Perek Tes Pasuk Beis. So let me just read. Sorry, but if you look at the pasuk begins that. Sorry, it was Vayhi b'yom hashmini kara Moshe la'aron ulevanav zikne Yisrael. Hashem calls Moshe called Aaron and for his children and the zikne Yisrael. Vayomer la'aron, and Moshe tells Aaron, kach lecha egel ben bakor lechatas va'alola tumim va'kreiv lifnei Hashem. I want you to take, what does he tell him to take? An egel. He wants him to take an egel. Normally speaking, a sin offering for a Kohen Gadol is actually a shor, is actually an ox. But this is, why did he tell him to take an egel? Why do you think he told him to take an egel? Tell him what? Why would he have him take an egel?
Because the egel's a hook.
Right, and to tell him what?
That it's okay.
Yeah, right. So that's Rashi. Rashi says, Lo dia shebechapel lo kodesh baruch hu. So this, again, we saw different approaches when we studied this, I think maybe in Parshas Trumashir, that again, was this a way to get kapara? The way Rashi looks at it is to make known to Aaron that he has kapara. Take this egel, no hard feelings, you have kapara. Okay? Now, the truth is, it's it could be that Aaron was, if you're Aaron, how might you feel at this point? You might feel a little nervous. Because if you look in Perek Tes, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin, so Moshe says, V'yor Moshe, Zeh davar sher tziva Hashem tasu, V'yor lechem kvod Hashem. So he says, Moshe, this is what you need to do so that God's glory should appear. Then, V'yor Moshe l'Aaron, Moshe says to Aaron, Krav el habizbeach, come forward to the mizbeach, V'aseyes chataskha ves olosecha, and do the korban chatas and do the olah. Now, what phrase might be a little bit, what might be extra in Pasuk Zion? There's what phrase seems to be superfluous that I may not have needed this phrase? I'm sorry, is it not big enough here?
It says the chaper twice. It says the chaper by Adam, and then it says again the chaper by Adam again.
Right. So it's interesting. So he's saying I want you to do a kapara for yourself and for the people, and make the okay. That's a good point actually. In the first half. Right, and make the korban ha'am the chaper ba'adam. So there is seems to be some extra in the last half. I'm not going to find. It's a good point, Judah. I asked too much in the first half of the pasuk.
Where else would you bring the korban?
Yeah, I think that's right, Ben. I think that's bothering some of Farshim. I think it bothers the Ramban. I think he's saying like, why does he have to tell Aaron to krav alam mizbeach? And the Ramban writes. He says in the Yesh Omrim, some say Hoya Aaron roes amizbeach kitav nishor. Aaron perceived the mizbeach as having the form of an ox. V'haya mishor mimenu, and he's afraid of it. Nichdas Moshe etzlo. So Moshe comes to him and he says, Omer lo Aaron achi lo ti ravi mashe tam yisrael. Don't be afraid. Against datcha vok karav elav. Calm yourself down. Be confident and approach it. That's why he said, come close to Mizbeach, and then Aaron did this, and so he went close, and the Ramban continues, and he says, V'tam davar zeh, and the reason for this, ki bavur sheya Aaron kadosh Hashem, Aaron was such a holy person, ve'ein benav shel chet zulasi masa ego, Aaron's only sin was the ego. You can imagine Aaron, at least according to the Ramban, he's just full of guilt. And he is never sure, can he actually come back? You know, sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, you only had one sin. But imagine if you live a perfect life, and then you have this one sin, you make a decision. You make a calculated decision in a very where basically you have to choose the lesser of two evils. And then it haunts you. And you wonder whether you made the wrong decision. So much so that he sees what on this Mizbeach, what does he see? He sees this the shore or the ego. He sees this Masa ego. It was fixed in his thoughts. Kinyan Shenemar v'chatasi negdi tamid. V'haya nidmalo kilut suras ha'ego sham ma'akiya b'kaparosa. He thinks that, you know what? The form of this ego is going to prevent me from achieving this atonement. And that's why Moshe tells him, be confident. Kadosh Baruch Hu is favorably disposed towards your actions. Don't be lowly spirit. Again, now what's interesting though,
So does Aaron know the principle that the tzaddikim get judged more harshly than Rishon do? In other words, for any minor sin or for any sin at all, they get punished at a much higher level?
I don't know what Aaron knows at this point. Like, you know, you have to understand, we're like living, you know, later, you know, we're analyzing text and we're making judgments. I think a lot of at this point, Aaron, at least according to one school of, you know, Mefarshim, who interpret the story, and it's not just Klal Yisrael in general that's nervous about whether God will return, but Aaron for himself, because he led this. He He arranged this all. So, but what I'm saying is, I don't know. At least if I just read the words of the Ramban, I don't know if he's saying a God judge me more harshly than not. This is a major sin, and so I don't know if it's if Aaron, again, just from reading the Ramban, I don't know if the Ramban's saying, you know, I feel that Hashem is going to judge me harshly because I'm a tzaddik. It doesn't seem like that. I think he's feeling guilty about this. I'm not going to read into. I don't want to read more. I mean, hear what you're saying. It might be. It might not be. I could also see someone who basically lives his life perfectly, and this is such a horrific sin that happened, and you make a split second decision, a calculated decision, and you're wondering, you know, was this the right decision or not?
Right.
Rabbi, yeah. This takes place on the eighth day of the Milouim.
The eighth day. Yes, the eighth day. Yep. So then. And what's interesting is, if you look at Pasuk Vav, Moshe tells Aaron, this is what you have to do. Zadavar Sher Tziva Hashem Tasu, V'yeiru Alechem Kvod Hashem, so that the glory of God appears. So Aaron does it. He brings the sacrifices, does everything, shechs everything, right? Does everything. He brings the Ola, Pasuk Tezayin, brings the Mincha, everything's great. He pasuk yud ches, he shechs the shore, he puts on the fats. Pasuk chafes, Aaron now blesses the people, and still nothing happens. Okay, I don't know if you ever noticed this when you're going through everything that's going on. Aaron does the whole service. Nothing happens.
No fire.
Right. No fire comes down. Aaron blesses the people. Nothing comes down, and he goes down from making the chatas, the ola, and the shlamim. And it's only when pasuk chav gimel, what happens? What happens in pasuk chav gimel?
Moshe
and Aaron come, and they bless the people, and then the glory of God comes to the people. How do you think Aaron must have felt at that point in time? Right? Can you imagine? Do you think Aaron's confident now at this point in time that he's been completely forgiven? Moshe says, Aaron, this is what you have to do. And Aaron does it. And it wasn't as Moshe said. It wasn't Vayera Lechem Kvod Hashem. Moshe himself had to step in. And the Sifra picks up on this. This is not me. The Sifra picks up on this. The Sifra says the following. Vayava Moshe v'Aaron el Ola Moed. Kevan Shira Aaron Shekarvu Kol HaKorbanos V'nasu Kol HaMasim V'lo Yarda Shechina LiYisrael. Once Aaron sees that all the sacrifices are brought and all the actions are done and the Shechina doesn't descend to Klal Yisrael, Haya Omid Aaron Amitztayer, Aaron's standing and he's distressed. Omar, he said, Yodeani Shekas Alai HaMakom Bishvili. I am aware that God is angry at me. Bishvili lo yarda shechina liYisrael. Because of me, the shechina did not descend to Klal Yisrael. Kach asa li Moshe achi. This is what my brother Moshe did to me. Shenichnasti v'nispayashti. I entered, I went forth, and I was embarrassed.
Oh.
V'lo yarda shechina liYisrael. And the shechina did not descend to Klal Yisrael. It's almost as if he's saying that Moshe set me up. Miyad, nichnas Moshe imo. Mili, Moshe is like, Wally, what's going on? He enters with him, v'ikshu rachamim. And he asks for mercy. V'yarda shechina liYisrael. And the shechina descends to Klal Yisrael. L'chach nemar. V'yavo Moshe v'arod al moed. Moshe and Aaron come to the al moed. You see how Chazal are reading between the lines, Ramban's reading between the lines, that Aaron is very nervous, and indeed, maybe he is not able to bring the Shechina down himself, and he's still wondering, maybe the people are forgiven, this is Chos of Moshe, but what's the fate of Aaron? Again, ultimately, after Moshe joins Aaron, the Shechina descends upon Klal Yisrael. And then what happens immediately afterwards? Immediately after, Nadav and Avihu are consumed by the fire. And again, and then we've given Shirim on this, there are multiple explanations regarding why they die. However, we have one medrash, which I'm sure some of us are familiar with this medrash, the medrash of Ikar Rabbah. Again, this is one stream of thought. There are many different explanations, but I'm just sort of sharing with you one approach on how to read the story. The medrash of Ikar Rabbah says, "Batchila nigzer gzeira alav shenamar." Initially, there was a decree on Aaron, Devarim Tes, Uva Aaron, because he cites in Devarim Tes, Uva Aaron his anaf Hashem od lashmido. Moshe in Parshas Veschanan, I believe, Devarim Tes, I think it's Veschanan or Akev, he says that Hashem was angry at Aaron and he wanted to destroy him. Again, this is Moshe's understanding. Amar Rabbi Yoshua desichnin b'shem Rabbi Levi. In Hashmada Ella Kilui Badim. So destruction means, what does destruction here mean? Destruction generally means annihilation of one's children. It's an interesting concept. We have to think about this. And sometimes you have examples where to punish someone is to kill their children. The question is, you know, can children die for the sin of their parents? And separate question. But be that as it may, so we have to deal with that theological issue. But he wants to explain the lashon of Kiloi. He brings a proof from Amos of Vashmid Piryo Mimal Visharashav Mitachas. So the lashon of Hashmada implies destroying the children. Because Vashmid Piryo, and what happens? Kevan Shispala Moshe Alav Nimna Amimenu Chatzi Hagzera. Once Moshe dies, so half of the decree was taken away. Mesu Shnayim Vinishtairu Shnayim. Two died and two were left over. And that's what it says, Kach as Aaron ves Badavito. So again, you know, I don't know how, it's not to say that Nadavin Avi, who may have not sinned, may have been a combination of their sin and Aaron's sin, and obviously you have to work that out. But even Rav Yair Khan, I read an article from Rav Yair Khan from the Gush, that's a brother, I think, of Ari Khan, and he says that even if you don't adopt that this perspective of this midrash, that indeed Aaron was punished, and Nadavin Avihu at least were killed partially as a punishment for Aaron's sin, which again raises theological issues. But even if you don't take that approach, I think we've tried to develop an approach that Aaron blamed himself for the death of his sons.
And Rabbi, isn't it a question of Inu Hadin? If they built the Mishkan on the 11th of Tishrei, so I built a Mishkan, and this is the 8th of Nisan. You got, 5-6 months in between? Isn't that a rather long time? So, anyway, I didn't. If you're going to punish Aaron, why wait 6 months to do it?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know how Kadosh Baruch, I don't know if it could be. Again, I can theorize a lot of possibilities. It's hard to know these things. You could theorize Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see Aaron's level of tshuva. You know, is he going to do everything that Hashem tells him to do? Is he going to fit everything? Is he going to lose? Right. The whole thing was they built the Aaron, they built the Mishkan, and they're going to follow Hashem to the T. And then what happens? They finish it around Hanukkah time. I mean, before Hanukkah, but around right the Chafei Kislev, and they try to put together. They're not able to. Try to put together. Not able to. They're still going to have Emuna. So again, it's hard to know these things. But my point is, even if it's not a punishment, I think you could still say that Aaron, Vayidom Aaron, when Aaron is silent in reaction to their deaths. So Rabbi Yair Khan wants to say that maybe he's accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment and punishment as part of Aaron's tshuva for the sin of the ego. And the Torah, again, does not elaborate on Aaron's tshuva. It doesn't say how he overcame, you know, his sin, if he did, on the part of the ego. But maybe Vayidom Aaron is Aaron engaging in Tzidduk HaDin. He accepts, to some extent, this judgment. And maybe what happens is that, on the one hand, B'nai Yisrael achieve complete atonement. And then what he argues is in a very fascinating way, that what's Parshas Achrei Mose? Parshas Achrei Mose is what's Parshas Achrei Mose about? It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Aaron when you can enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what's the language? The language is Hashem speaks to Aaron when Acharei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron. And then he says, this is how you can come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In other words, when the Mishkan was built, or when Hashem commanded Aaron to build, Moshe to build the Mishkan, the goal was that Aaron can go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then after the sin of the golden calf, Aaron's wondering, did I lose? Is that it? Can I never come into Kodesh HaKadoshim? Well, Kodesh Baruch Hu have that special connection with me. And you can imagine, after Nadav and Avihu, you can imagine, based on these Midrashim, and what happened, that he wasn't able to bring down God's Shekhinah, based on his nervousness. And then immediately afterwards, Nadav and Avihu die. You can imagine Aaron wondering, you know, what Aaron wondering, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to forgive him? If not, but Aaron is Vayidom. He accepts it. He doesn't complain. And then immediately after that, Parshas Acharei Mos is what? It was after the death of his two sons, after this incident of Aaron being matzdik the din, that what happens? Shem says, Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. At that point, Aaron now, complete tshuva, now he can come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Aaron can only enter when he was clean from sin. This happens after Vayidom Aaron. Again, Nadav and Avihu made a mistake, and they thought you can easily enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but obviously that's not the case. You need a Kodesh Baruch Hu's permission. And then again, perhaps we look at the story in a different light. We look at the story as a time when Klal Yisrael achieve a demonstration that everything's forgiven, the fire comes down, they can come back at this point when the fire comes down. And maybe Aaron's final act of tshuva was actually Vayidom Aaron, and it wasn't only until the deaths of his two sons that Aaron now is, and he accepts it, then there's full reconciliation, and Acharei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron, he now can come back and fully reconcile with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I never seen this before, this approach. It's a little bit different, but I thought it's a fascinating approach, and I think it fits in well with some of the Midrashim and the Ramban that we spoke about this evening.